We are back here on The Game. Later on in Hour 2, Cole Manbeck will join us. He had to take 24 hours or so to regroup after the loss on Tuesday. Took it pretty hard inside Allen Fieldhouse. 525, a couple coaches today on the teleconference weighed in their thoughts on the travel from Spee at the end of the game there. We've got Brady's Cover 5 in about 15 minutes, but for right now, the first time this season, we bring back our good old friend around college basketball.
Bobby Knight just threw his chair clear across the free throw lane. Farouk Benesh, a three.
We go shock the world. I told you we go shock the world.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Kansas State heads to the Elite Eight.
This is Around College Basketball.
All right, a little bit of March Madness music here. All right, we're going to start with the Big 12 action last night. Number 2 Baylor barely outlasted Iowa State 65-63. The Bears are now 14-0 on the season. Meanwhile, right underwards, Oklahoma State fell to 0-2 in league play with an 82-79 loss at Texas.
Well, I saw the end of the Baylor-Iowa State game, and I was impressed that the Cyclones were where they were at. That game winner by Manu LeCompte was crazy. Looks like he had no shot to make that. Maybe a one-hand runner from like 12 feet on the baseline where he put a ton of arc on it. Iowa State's got to feel fairly snake-bit. We just discussed ad nauseum how K-State's had so much tough luck in close games. They've now lost by 2 points to second-ranked Baylor, 2 points to fifth-ranked Gonzaga, and they had a one-point overtime loss to 22nd-ranked Cincinnati. I know people are somewhat down on the Cyclones right now. And you've been listening to me for the last year. I'm not a big Steve Cohen fan. I'm not convinced on him at all. But they're 9-4, and three of those losses are the 2, 5, and 22 by a combined 5 points with an overtime game. So the Cyclones are still pretty good.
That shot kind of reminded me of some Denny Clemente stuff. We haven't seen a whole lot of that kind of stuff since Denny Clemente was here. In all honesty.
Do you know where LeCompte came from?
Where? But that is a pretty impressive performance from Iowa State. I was intrigued by how CBS's Seth Davis, said during the game that this was a battle between his most overrated team in the country and his most underrated team in the country, talking about Baylor with the former and Iowa State with the latter. In any case, I think the bigger headline, in all honesty, is Oklahoma State losing to Texas after their really solid start to the season, a couple of losses to begin Big 12 play, and their resume is starting to fade a little bit. It'll be interesting to see if they can hang on and keep from falling to the bottom of the Big 12.
A lot of positive buzz about Oklahoma State for the start that they got off to. Some nice non-conference wins, at least in name. You know, they had the UConn win, but UConn's been pretty bad. So, yeah, they're starting to drift back. I was surprised, I will admit. Obviously, I wasn't surprised that Baylor won. I was surprised to see the Texas one. That's a much-needed win for Shaka Smart, man. I can tell you that after listening to a lot of his media press conferences leading into the K-State game.
Well, hey guys, speaking of the Bears, they're going to probably be the new number one team in college basketball next week as previously unbeaten Villanova, the defending national champs, lost at Butler last night, paving the way for Baylor to take up the top spot if they beat Oklahoma State this weekend.
Students were chanting it last night in Villanova the game. And the significance here is that K-State plays Baylor a week from Saturday. That's going to be the number one team in the country in all likelihood coming into the regular college season. Last time that happened, last year they went down in the form of the Oklahoma Sooners. So that's going to add some extra juice, certainly, to next Saturday's game against Baylor.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if K-State has bounced back from the KU debacle to an extent that they could win a game like that against the number one team in the country. I do think the Baylor will probably be coming off a loss into that game, though, because their midweek game is against West Virginia. West Virginia will badly need a win in that one to maintain any kind of a chance to win the Big 12 since they've already suffered a loss to Texas Tech.
There's still going to be that one by the name.
Yes.
So that'll be exciting.
Well, he was almost a jabroni of the week, but the indefinite suspension of Duke's Grayson Allen turned out to be just one game. The Blue Devils star guard missed a loss to Virginia Tech last week, but returned for last night's blowout of Georgia Tech.
My bad. Forgot to go back.
Scoring XX points. Double X.
Interesting story. I'm going to look that up.
As part of his punishment for repeatedly tripping opponents, Allen was stripped of his...
I don't know how to say that.
Captaincy. This story to me is pretty easy. Like, Mike Krzyzewski did not seem like he wanted to suspend Grayson Allen. He was very defiant immediately after the game when people were questioning him about it. And there was so much public pressure, he gave in and he caved, and he did actually suspend him. But it's all ridiculous. You know, he suspended for one game. He tried to throw something else on top of it, taking away him being a captain. That to me rings pretty hollow and just tells you that Mike Krzyzewski wanted to do what he was going to do, and he found the easiest way to just get people off his back for a little bit, have some kind of suspension, some kind of punishment, and then move on and have the kid back.
It was 15 points, by the way. I apologize for not going back and plugging that in there. But the best take that I saw on it was actually at halftime of that game. Seth Greenberg was part of the halftime show on ESPN, and he was talking about how he didn't really care what the punishment was from Duke. He was disappointed that the ACC never stepped in and did anything, because this was a third time occurrence. He should have been, you know, reprimanded or something like that after the second time. And then after the third time, the ACC should say, well, you're going to sit out three games or something like that. Losing your captaincy isn't great, but him getting off the hook after missing just one game is pretty easy for Grayson Allen.
All right, and then finally, other actually Duke news. Coach K will undergo back surgery this week and take a leave of absence from the team. The timetable for his return is unknown, and former Oklahoma coach and current Duke assistant Kate Patron will take control of the Blue Devils for the time being.
The other thing, okay. So yeah, Grayson Allen's back. So later, get my back taken care of, and I'll talk to you guys after it's all blown over and no one's really talking about it again, because the next thing college football will come up. Also, pretty nice luxury to have on Jeff Capers' right-hand man. For a long time. Of course, the coach at Oklahoma, and while things didn't ultimately work out, I mean, he had a decent run there at OU. Like, that's a good guy to leave a program in the hands of and step away from.
The ACC is just bizarre this year, and Duke could be in trouble in that, but the thing is, everybody appears to be in trouble. Like, North Carolina has not been playing well thus far. The ACC is gunning for a new record for most teams by one conference to get into the NCAA tournament. The current record is 11, and there is some speculation they could get even more than that this year. But this was supposed to be a pretty easy season for Duke. Just kind of glide your way through the ACC and the number one seed in the NCAA tournament. They've had more bumps in the road come up than expected.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, all their injury issues, like, they're just now starting to get healthy. There's been the Grayson Allen stuff to deal with, now the Coach K stuff to deal with. It's a lot more than Coach K would typically want on his plate to deal with outside of just Duke. And you know, the other thing about Coach K, too, here that I wondered about was back. And, you know, part of it, things are going to happen, I get that. But he also spent so much time with Team USA, coaching Team USA basketball, so that has taken a lot out of it as well. And, you know, just made it a more busy calendar year for him, and that could put more stress on, you know, lead to some of the back problems. I'm no chiropractor, but I would think that could play some role.
He's 69 years old. We're getting up there a little bit.
And to be honest, I was thinking out loud here. I guess if you're a Duke fan, you'd be crazy about doing the Team USA thing. I mean, it's cool, and I'm sure it's good for getting his face out there, but they already have things coming right now.
Well,
you're Duke. You're going to get players no matter what. I don't know. I'd almost rather say, hey, why don't you just focus solely on...
Now, I mean, now that Rio is over, if I'm a Duke fan, I absolutely beg for him to stay away from that Napino Oriama thing. That's what I would think.
The 5'10", Cole Manbeck is coming on the show to talk about his feelings and the loss to the Kansas Jayhawks. Looking pretty hard. But coming up next, we've got award-winning radio.